Good morning. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. It's great to be back home. My wife and I and Melvin were in Boston. Melvin is still in Boston. We flew home last night from the American Leadership Conference. And it dawned on us, this is actually the first time just all the leaders from all the churches in America got together. We've never done it before. Every time, obviously, all our brothers and sisters from around the world are always with us. But this time, we didn't invite them to the party. But it was a tremendous time. The theme was One Nation Under God. It was inspiring. It was encouraging. It was convicting. It's great to go out of town and get inspired. Realize that, you know what, we're on the right track. And we need to stay on the right track as people of God, amen? And that to know our brothers and sisters all over the United States are doing the same thing in their different cities, drawing close to God and being their very best for God. Before I go any further, I want to introduce our new brother in Christ. Moose, where are you? Go ahead and stand up. It's also great to have Jake back for the weekend. He's in Savannah now. Go ahead, Jake. It's great to see you. It's awesome to be a Christian. Like I said, it was a tremendous conference, and Douglas Arthur, the lead evangelist of the Boston Church of Christ, led us off by talking about our unity. And obviously, he was looking at John 17, and he made some great points from his lesson. And the first question he asked was, are we the people that Jesus was praying about? Because a lot of times we assume we are. And he went on to break down that passage in terms of how Jesus promised that, you know what? The world will hate them just like it hated him. Have you been hated lately? Because you're a Christian? Or have we become assimilated in the world where people can't even tell the difference anymore? He was very convicted from day one. We also talked a little bit about the conference that's going to be taking place in San Antonio next year. Already, 3,000 people have paid and registered. You better register, or you may not get a hotel room, and you're not going to sleep in my room. The good thing is, if you register, the charge is not going to show up on your whatever until you check out. All right? But you need to go register because they're expecting over 10,000 people. We're talking about having the campus conference, the worship conference, the singles conference, the marriage conference, the leadership conference. I mean, everything. Next July in San Antonio. It's going to be tremendous. You don't want to miss out. We've never done that before in our brotherhood. You say, I'm saving money for my vacation. Well, let me help you out. That needs to be your vacation next year. Amen? Take your family to San Antonio. It will change your life. 3 days. Brothers and sisters all over the world. Just being together and looking at God's word. And enjoying and God's fellowship. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous time. Amen? So start saving your money. As a matter of fact, Larry, where are you? Let me run that clip now. Let me do this now and get out of the way before I get into my lesson. I'm going to get a bit excited. We've seen this before, but I want to show it again. All right? Let me turn this off. Douglas Arthur was making fun of Mike, saying, you know what? Texas, Where did you get the mountains from? And all that snow. I thought that was funny. It's going to be hot, but it's going to be great. Amen? John chapter 6. The title of my lesson this morning, it's feeding time. It's feeding time. In John chapter 6, we'll pick up in verse 25. When they had found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And we'll stop there for now. Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 in the beginning of chapter 6. They had sat down the day before, and Jesus had fed all of them. Well fed. Not just having a bite. Because they took up a ton of garbage afterwards. And so, they realized, you know what? This is kind of cool. Man, this guy preaches, and then he feeds you. Let's go back. We don't have to cook anymore. How do I know? Because Jesus says it. He says, you came, not because you want to hear me speak, but because yesterday, you had the loaves and had your fill. And now tells them, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, the God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then he goes on to say, you know what? I am that bread. He said, wait a second. You know, our father, Moses, gave our forefathers manna from heaven. What you gonna do? In other words, what you did yesterday, do it again. He says, no, no, no. As a matter of fact, it wasn't Moses that gave your forefathers manna. It was God. But I am the true bread that comes down from heaven. If you feed on me, you will never die. And so the question we've got to ask ourselves this morning as we look at this passage is this. Are you truly feeding on Jesus? You know, like Gary started saying in his class, in terms of how, you know, you see people doing lousy spiritually. The first thing that goes is their Bible study. Because you're going to feed yourself something. You and I either feed on this or on something else. Are you with me? This is not rocket science.
Jesus says, I am the bread of life. That if we continue to feed on him, we will never die. He's not talking about physical death. We're talking spiritual death. Because every man dies. Are you with me? Death awaits all of us. So that's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about you and I living forever with God. Here's where it begins. And I think, living in this age, we can get so busy that we don't have time to look into God's word. I'm talking about on a daily basis. On a daily basis. You eat every day, don't you? I do. Some of us eat four times a day. You know yourselves. All right? It's not a foreign concept to us. You know, when you're starving, what do? You eat. Hopefully it's not fast food. Okay? That's why they call it fast food. It's very fast. But it's also very fattening. Alright? But when you're starving, you want to eat something. To quench the hunger. When you're thirsty, you want to drink something to quench the thirst. It's instinctive. But you know, it's amazing how spiritually though, we get dull to it sometimes. We don't really realize what is going on. We go several days without looking at the word of God. And then you wonder how come you are not happy. And then you wonder how come you're just grumpy and moody. Get into the Bible. It's not rocket science. How it is when you eat delicious food? You know, I'm told, and I've been told many, many times, and I've seen on TV, that people from New Orleans, they really know how to cook. Okay? And I remember several months ago, you know, the Washingtons invited us over, and Lisa said, what do you want? I said, you know, I've been hearing about this stuff called jambalaya. I said, don't worry, I'll cook you jambalaya. Man! That stuff was awesome. I had seconds. I had thirds. You can ask them. I'm not shy when it comes to food. See, my culture, if you invite somebody over to eat and they don't eat well, it's an insult. And so I wasn't going to insult them. I mean, they go through all that trouble to cook all that food and you're not going to show up and you're just going to nibble. Well, I don't do that where I'm from. You're going to eat. And so I ate. And it's funny. They were telling me, you know, there's something else called gumbo. And so what happened the other day, a brother took me out for my birthday. I was sitting in the restaurant and I see this stuff. It says, shrimp and chicken gumbo. And I read, I said, I wonder if this is the same thing. So when the waiter comes, I said, what is this? He tells me, I said, you know what? Let me try this gumbo. I can tell you I have eaten that stuff 3 times in the last 2 weeks. Man, it's good. You see, that's what happens when you're starving for something. Are you with me? But you see, the question is, are we still excited about the word of God? Are we feeding ourselves? We got to make sure we are doing that. Now, look in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's go back a little bit. Because, you know, they bring up this whole thing of manna. And remember, it is God who gave them the manna. Deuteronomy chapter 8 in the Old Testament. It starts off by them not forgetting. They should remember to obey God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. In verse 1. Let's just read it. It says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today. So that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised and oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to see what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Amen? Jesus quoted that in Luke 4 when the devil came tempting him. He says, man does not live by bread alone. He was quoting Deuteronomy 8. Jump down to verse 16. He says, he gave you manna to eat in the desert, something you, your father, had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. Amen? You see, it's easy as God's children to put this life on cruise control. You know how it is, you're going on a long journey and your legs are getting tired. Most modern cars today, you press that on button, you press it on cruise, you put it on the speed limit you want, and you take your leg off the gas pedal. And the car will maintain that speed and just keep on going. You and I cannot do that with our Christian lives. Are you with me? We got to constantly make sure that we're feeding ourselves. It is God who gave them manna from heaven. And it's amazing. He gave them manna for 40 years. They stopped eating when they entered the promised land. Which tells me God can take care of my needs. God can take care of your needs. Are you with me? His storehouse is huge. There's never a shortage. You know, he knows how many years you're going to live on this earth. I promise you, he can take care of you to the day he calls you back home. But you and I have got to make sure that we're feeding on him. We're feeding on his word. We're getting in there. In verse 15, it talks about how he led them, talking about God. It talks about again how he brought them water in verse 15. In verse 16, it says he gave you manna again, God. Verse 17, God gives us the ability to produce wealth. There's nothing in here about us. It's all about God. Amen? And that's why we cannot forget him. There's no room for boasting. There's no room for pride. It all comes from God, amen? But the question is, are you feeding on Jesus? Is Jesus still the bread of life? You know, it's amazing. You continue with the story. The Israelites became dissatisfied with the manna. And they start complaining, saying, you know what? We're tired of this stuff. When we're in Egypt, we used to eat fish and melons and all kinds of stuff. And all we see is this manna. He said, man, look at these guys. They're so ungrateful. You do exactly the same thing. You see, we got to be very careful when we get accustomed to our blessings. Wow. Oh, well, here we go again. I got to get up. I got to go to this job. I don't like this place. I don't like these people. Be thankful you have a job. There are many people that will gladly take your place in America right now. Oh, you don't like that guy? Please, I'll replace you. I mean, today they say customer service is out the window. It really ticks me off when you see these people and they're supposed to be there doing their job and they act like they're doing you a favor. I'm like, I'm sure when you were doing that interview, you were not acting like this. Who's your boss? Who's your supervisor? Because you do not deserve to be working here. What happens? We take God's blessings for granted. Oh, I'm just tired of eating this manna. Same thing, day in and day out. You better be careful. Because God sees it all. And he's going to deal with that. Amen? We should take time to reflect and stop to see everything that God has done for us. See, not only do we take our blessings for granted, sometimes, like Israelites, then we start complaining about it and start grumbling. Because that's what they did. I'm tired of eating this manna. And God was like, you know what? As a matter of fact, that's what you're going to do for the next 40 years. And notice, despite their grumbling, despite their complaining, God did not change his mind. It's in the story. Go read it. If I can just complain a little bit, I think God will do something different. Oh, you're kidding yourself. You don't know who you're dealing with. He's not going to change his mind. Until you learn that lesson. Until you become grateful for what he's doing. Amen? You're going to eat that manna until you're blue in the face. You know, I remember growing up, and I loved rice. I still love rice to this day. I can eat rice 3 times a day. It would not bother me at all. My mother used to joke that if rice could grow on somebody's head, it would grow on mine. That's how much I love rice. And they would cook all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, no. I don't want to eat it. And my mother look at me and say in my language, in other words, what she was saying to me was, you're not hungry? Fine. When you get hungry, you will eat a monkey. And she will refuse to cook the rice. Because I had to learn to appreciate what was placed in front of me. Some of us, in our parenting, I don't want this. I want mac and cheese. You can't eat mac and cheese every day. I'm sorry. But I'm not going to eat them. Fine. Then you're going to go hungry. We're going to have it tomorrow? No! One day when you grow up and you're making your own money, you want to eat mac and cheese every day, that's your headache. But until that day comes, when you are in this house, you're going to eat what I place before you. That's what a parent does. Oh, my son doesn't eat, my daughter doesn't. Leave them alone. When they get hungry, they will eat. So they're going to go eat cookies. How did the cookies get in there? You bought the cookies. They didn't walk into Publix and buy the cookies. You brought them home. You don't put that kind of stuff in the house. Whatever it is you want them to eat, that's what you buy. I promise you, when they're hungry, they're going to go eat it. They're going to learn to love it. Are you with me? God was the same way. We can't be complaining and grumbling about the things God has given us. Here we are complaining about, you know, we don't have this, or I want to eat this. There are people, they probably eat twice in a week. As you and I are speaking right now. They are starving. I mean, you give them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, it's as if you've given them gold. And some of them are like, I don't want that. We need to help our kids. There's an object lesson in every lesson. Look at these guys. Look at these kids on your side of the world. They're starving. And you're going to sit here and tell me you don't want this? You say, oh, you know, let me just give them whatever it is they want. Let me tell you something. You're messing up these kids. Because they're going to grow up and they're going to think everything's going to be handed to them. You're crippling them. Because the world is not like that. There are lessons that they need to learn in our home right now as we're raising them up. That's why they're still there. Amen? Amen. We ought to be grateful that we even have food to eat. Amen? Amen. If all God gives me is bread, for the rest of my life, praise God. I will eat and be thankful for it. That's what God calls us to do. Is Jesus still sustaining us?
You know, manna was called, what is it? That was the name. What is it? It was also called the bread of angels. Also called the grain of heaven in Psalm 78, you'll find those references. Jesus is not saying, you know what? You know, I'm going to give you bread. He said, I am the bread. You got to feed on me. And that's why, yes, you know, there are times when, you know, your Bible study is kind of dry. You can't let that go on for 2-3 days. I'm sorry. You can't. You guys can't wake up. Okay, what am I going to do today? Okay, let me just open up and read. No. You got to have a plan. You say, I don't know what to do. Then talk to somebody who does. Some of you are visiting. You know, if you've never really gotten into your Bible, let me encourage you to get inside of it. You say, where do I start? Don't go start in Genesis. Okay? Pick one of the Gospels. And I say that because the entire Old Testament points to Jesus. Points to the true bread. And so pick one of the Gospels and start reading it. Chapter 1. Read it for half an hour. For an hour if you have the time. I can promise you, if I said right now from this pulpit, what's that guy who just died this week? Steve Jobs. Let's assume Steve Jobs left all his money to me, okay? About 2.2 billion. And I said to all of us in here, if you read your Bible this day, I mean on this day, going forward, every day for half an hour, I will give you $1,000 for half an hour of Bible study every day. All of you would go out this week and you will read your Bible every day for half an hour. Every single person in here. And you'll show up next Sunday and say, Richard, I did it. Where's my $7,000? In your mind, you've already spent that $7,000. You know exactly what you're going to do with it. What's the difference, though? It's the motivation. Is the money. Well, I'll read Baba if he's going to pay me. I'll read it. But I'm talking about what you and I are about to inherit. You can't put a price on it. You can't. And the amazing thing is, it's free. I mean, can you imagine if God charged us every time he fed us? Oh, you want to feed? Okay, that's going to cost you $5. I wonder how many of us would do it. It's free. How's your relationship with God? How's your Bible study going? Are you just going through the motions? One day you are not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. This is the only thing that's going to determine whether you make it or not. It's not coming to church every Sunday that makes you a Christian. Is living on the word of God, feeding on it, reading it, and then doing what it says. I'm very concerned about many of us as I'm standing here. I am very, very concerned. Because you're not feeding on the word. You got to get into the book. Amen. The NET puts it this way, says, do not walk for food that disappears. This ain't going to disappear. The word of God will be sustained forever. Amen? That's what we got to be feeding on. But are we thirsty? Are we hungry enough? And I forget, back in the 90s, one of the best commercials I've ever seen on TV. We lived in South Africa at the time. And they showed the scene of this guy. He'd been out in a desert. And he comes across this, like a store. And he staggers in. He's been, you know, gone for days without water. His lips are all patched and cracked and he's all dirty and sweaty. And he comes in and he kind of puts his hand on the counter and he goes, can I have a Coke? And the guy goes, what kind of Coke? Do you want Coke Classic? Lime Coke? Or Cherry Coke? Or New Coke, which is actually the old Coke? And it just goes on for like 2 minutes. And the guy said, then just give me a Pepsi.
The man is thirsty. You're talking about all these different varieties. He didn't care. He just wanted some drink. I remember the first time I saw that commercial, I thought, man, this is awesome. Obviously, the Coke people didn't like it. Yeah. See, when you're thirsty, when you're hungry, you want to eat. Your soul on your inside is starving. Your soul on the inside is hungry. Are you feeding it? Stop watching CSI.
Come on. Come on.
You got no business watching Dancing with the Stars. They can't even dance. I mean, you look at some of these guys, like, what business does this person have? Trying to do this and all this stuff. Like, please give me a break. And you're laughing. You're sitting there watching that stuff and you have not even read your Bible that day. Turn off the television. Amen? He said, Richard, you're getting legalistic. I don't care what you call it. If it's going to save your soul, you decide. If you decide today, you ready for this? Buckle up. If you decide today, you can decide today, you know what? I am not going to watch TV until I have read my Bible. If that is the motivation you need, then so be it. I am not going to watch any television until I have spent my time with God. Amen? And I'm not talking about, I'll just record it and watch it later. Uh-uh. You ain't recording jack. But get into your Bible. You can decide that before you leave this room. You can decide this on your way home. That I am not going to watch TV until I've prayed and I've read my Bible. Some people I know say, no, I'm not eating anything until I've fed myself spiritually first. They will not take anything physically until they have prayed. And Richard, those people are just being legalistic. They're doing great spiritually and you are in the doldrums. You're doing lousy. See who's talking. Hello. If we feed on Jesus, he says we're going to live forever. It's a turning point in this gospel, in the ministry of Jesus. And we're going to pick this up on Thursday night. Because from this point on, many disciples left. Say, oh man, this is too hard. Oh, we're going to talk about that one next week. But the first thing is, we got to be feeding. Amen? We got to be feeding. We got to be feeding. I've been preaching now for 23 years. One thing I cannot do is preach with food in my stomach. I just can't do it. And so every Sunday morning, I can't eat breakfast. There's no way. Thursday night, the same thing. Now once I'm done, I need to find that food very quickly. And I go find it. There are times in fellowship, you know, my wife wants to talk to everybody. I say, honey, we gotta go. Son of man has gotta eat. Because I'm hungry. But I can't preach with food in my stomach. I don't know why. So I understand the concept. Amen? You understand the concept too. Jesus is the bread of life. You continue to feed on him, you will never die. Amen? His words are truth and they are life. I pray that all of us will walk out of here today deciding that we're going to get back into our Bibles. And we're going to start living according to it. And then you're going to start looking nice and smooth, spiritually speaking. There's going to be a bounce in your step. You've starved yourself enough. Let's get into the Word of God. Amen? Amen. It's feeding time.
Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much, God, for this day, God. Thank you for being here, God, this morning, to be alive, to worship you, God. God, thank you so much for the message from your son, Richard. God, I pray that all hearts were open and receptive to the message. God, thank you so much for your mercy, God, for your grace, just for everything you do for us, God. God, we pray that we feed upon your word, as Richard brought to us this morning, God. Remember that we continually, God, every single day, God, not just to read our Bibles daily, God, but to understand the message. God, you're so awesome. Thank you for your son and the ultimate sacrifice that he made for us. God, I pray that you continually bless us individually, God, as well as collectively. God, please help us to understand the privilege that you have given us, God, through prayer, to see things happen, to see things change in our lives, as well as the lives that, for whom that we pray. God, be with us now. Please be with us forevermore. In your son's name, amen.